We're in a series on home improvement. Some of us do those home improvement projects around the house, the DIY, they call it, do it yourself. And so people have asked me to sort of do some how-to sermons, and so I'm doing that. And so this morning we're looking at how to reignite your passion in faith and life. And we're in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. And these are Paul's words. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at how to reignite your passion for faith and life. This summer, Savannah and I did our normal vacation, which is to travel somewhere. This summer, we went to Florida, and as part of our vacation, we usually go to some kind of those tourist shops for souvenirs. Have you ever done that? You can get sort of fun, inexpensive things and have some personality. We were in Florida, so we were at sort of this surf shop, and of course, my favorites were the surfboards and the magnets for the refrigerator that looked like a beach scene. You know the ones I mean? That are just beautiful. Sunsets, sunrises, all that sort of thing. But then there was the humorous section. You know which one I mean? It's sort of these refrigerator magnets that are humorous. And so some of those were, I sort of took note. The first one, if you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you. Fair enough. Some of you will like this more than others. Another one, my short-term memory isn't what it used to be. Also, my short-term memory isn't what it used to be. And this one, which I thought was funny and humorous and true, which is worth, ignorance or apathy? I don't know and I don't care. I know, sad but true, though. And I thought to myself, you know, that's the state of a lot of the world today. I don't know and I don't care. And I think that, in a sense, you know, a lot of us have had a lot of disappointments in life and a lot of hurt and a lot of heartbreak, and we start to shield ourselves from hurt and heartbreak and sometimes from people in general, would you agree? And we sort of lose our joie de vivre, which is the French word for joy for life. But, I mean, everything sounds better in French. Would you agree? So, joie de vivre, the joy of life. But even more, we lose our sensitivity for faith and life and, indeed, relationships, I think. And this is what C.S. Lewis said about that. You may be familiar with C.S. Lewis, the well-known 20th century theologian and writer. And he, in his book on Four Laws, writes this about love and the need for vulnerability in the midst of that. He said, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything in your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that place, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable, for to love is to be vulnerable. To love is to be vulnerable. And I think Paul would celebrate and agree with that statement by C.S. Lewis. And you know, that's a truth in life. I think for a lot of us, maybe we have loved and we've lived with passion, and we go through some hurts and heartbreaks and disappointments, and we begin to sort of shield ourselves from being hurt. And sooner or later, we have sort of the passion of life, the joy to be, the passion for our faith sort of sucked out of us. And I think Paul speaks into the situation this morning in this great chapter from Romans chapter 12. And oftentimes people will come to me and they'll say, you know, I can't read the whole Bible. I hope you will, actually. I try to read it every year all the way through, but of course you can't memorize it. But people will say, I just can't do that. So give me some things to focus on. And I always say, well, you'll pick a gospel and sort of read through that. And they'll say, okay, well, I want something I can just kind of live by. And I say, well, that's real easy. There's two places that I will tell you to read. And you can read them every week and even every day. And they will teach you how to live each and every day. And those two places are the Sermon on the Mount and Romans chapter 12. And so we're in Romans chapter 12. And to be sure, Paul is writing this, and some say it's the most incredibly theologically deep book in the Bible, and it has chapters like that, but it's also very, very practical. And Romans chapter 12, right in the heart of this, is a chapter that talks about daily living in an incredible way. And so for those of you who just got a Bible and you want to navigate there, so if you take your Bible, sort of put it like this, and you halfway through, sort of put your fingers on each side halfway through, you're going to come to the Psalms. And if you take the right part of your Bible and you kind of go about halfway through, you're going to come roughly to Matthew. And then if you take the right part of your Bible again, about halfway through, you're going to come roughly to the area around Romans. And that will get you close. Or you can look, you know, in a table of contents or your little marker that you have there and find your way. But I recommend it a lot. And so Paul is talking about, I think the first thing is to live with passion and to stay positive. Unless you think Paul's just saying this like some motivational speaker who hasn't really seen the struggles and challenges of life, think again. Read Paul's life and Acts and see everything that he's faced in life, and it's incredible. He's probably in prison, spent a lot of time in prison. In fact, if he wasn't in prison, we'd probably have none of his letters because he was always on the go, always preaching the gospel, always sharing God's love, even to some folks who were rather negative at times. So we have this precious book that was written to people undergoing persecution, and Paul is writing to them, and he's saying to be positive. And you'll recall that last week we looked at how to be the best version of you. And I said that there's two things there, which is to focus on our gifts and talents, and the second thing is to encourage others to focus on their gifts and talents, and together we form the body of Christ. And so here Paul says about being positive, and listen to what he says. He says, love must be sincere. And so this whole section begins and depends on love, agape love, love that is dependent on God's love flowing through us. And then he says, hate what is evil. And those, some people will say, well, you know, there he's got hate right there. Hate is a passionate kind of a thing. But notice, he doesn't say hate people. He says, hate what is evil. And there's a big difference between hating people and hating what is evil. And there's a lot of hate in our world, a lot of divisiveness and what have you. And Paul here is saying, abhor what is evil. And there's a lot of evil around us in the world. Hate that, but don't hate the people. Love the people, even as Jesus said. And so he says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Notice the action verb behind all of this. Be devoted to one another in love, again love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The New International Reader's Version put that verse 11 like this, and I rather like this. Never let the fire in your heart go out. Keep it alive. Serve the Lord. And I'll tell you, if you want a verse to just kind of put on your refrigerator magnet instead of some of those ones I start out with, I highly recommend that verse, Romans 12, 11, and that's a great version of that. Or you can find other versions as well. We all kind of yearn for passion. I think that's some of our draw to sports, right? Is that you've had a bad week and whatever, and you're going to go and you're going to cheer for your team. And I know sometimes it's a disappointing day. And for some of us, it's been a disappointing season, but at least you're with some people with passion. And I was thinking the other day about, of course, Purdue sports, which is lacking this year. But one of the things we've lacked, in addition to, you know, some cohesive play, is that we've lacked Tyler Trent. I remember last year at this time that Tyler Trent was cheering us on, and we believed, along with Tyler Trent, in the impossible. And we knew that because Tyler was facing cancer and insurmountable odds, had his hopes dashed for the career that he wanted. But despite all of that, he had a passion for Purdue football, of course, but also a passion for faith and life, that he shared his passion for Christ with everyone. And I think that was just so beautiful for him to do that. And you know what? I really miss it this year. I don't know about you. And so I was kind of looking through some of the Tyler Trent posts. Of course, he's got a book out. It helps us to remember that. But, you know, passion makes the difference in life. I don't know if you're watching the World Series between two teams that really, I don't know when the last time or if ever they met, the Houston Astros and the Washington Nationals. Not a big fan base, you know, for a lot of the World Series, but I think a lot of people have said about this is that these players, Juan Soto just like turned 21 this week, right? And there's this kid playing in the World Series, and I saw this little interview by him, and he said, you know, one of the things that people are really capturing about this is first of all, these guys aren't used to being in the World Series. But the other thing is, these younger players are really having fun. And you know, sometimes you see professional sports, and they're really good, but they are not having fun. So everybody's like watching these guys. And he was saying how that, he says, you know, well, I'm Latino. And we put our passion, we put our heart into everything. And he said, I think that's kind of caught on. Not just with the team, but with the fans. And I thought, you know, that's really true. I mean, we love to watch a sport that people love to play and enjoy that. And so we've seen that. And, of course, you know, he's had a great week here, too. And it's just great to see him and, you know, some of these young guys just enjoying the game. But I think it's a case in faith and in life that we need to keep our passion. I was reading a book by John Ortberg, who's a Christian author who I highly recommend. And he recounted this moment in his life as a pastor. He said that he did a wedding. And you know the place in the wedding reception where they have all the couples get out there and dance. And then one by one they say, okay, everybody who's been married less than 10 years, you can sit down. And then, you know, less than 15, sit down. And, you know, then it's a contest. And he said, so this couple was out there dancing. They got to 50 years. And there's just a few couples left on the floor dancing. And finally got to this one couple that had been married 61 years. Right? And then the good DJs will always go up to that couple and say, do you have any words of advice for this young couple? You've been married 61 years. And so this older gentleman said, yes, we've been married 61 years. And he said, you know, we've been through the Korean War and we're separated by that. And he said, we both lost our jobs before and we lost our son and we've moved 6 times, but we were always able to dance. And I thought, you know, that's really true, isn't it? We were always able to dance, and that brings a freshness and sort of a passion to our lives. And I think in our own lives in faith, maybe we don't dance in faith, maybe we do, but to have that passion. The great philosopher Blaise Pascal, who is a French mathematical genius and engineering genius, designed the underground transportation in Paris, is still intact to this day, discovered some things in mathematics, but he was also a great philosopher, wrote the book Pensées, which is one of the greatest philosophical books there is, but also sort of poetic and passionate. And he died at a rather young age, but he accomplished a lot. And his sister was getting him ready for the funeral, and she knows that in his shirt was sewn, the shirt that he always wore, a lump. And so she knows there was stitching around it, and she unstitched it, and she found that there was a little piece of paper that was folded up. And the paper simply had a date. It was a date that he had given his heart to Christ, and the word fire. And it was right next to his heart. And as if he always wanted to remember in that shirt that he always wore, that he needed to keep the fire of his faith, the passion of his life alive and everything that he did. And I think in our own lives, we need to live our lives with passion and to live our faith with passion. And the second thing is to stay positive. And it says this, Paul says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Man, it's just so positive, isn't it? Yesterday, Savannah and I were able to go to the commissioning of the USS Indianapolis, the fourth such ship to be commissioned in the Navy, and Ellsworth and Nancy had tickets because Ellsworth did the planks for that and said, do you want to go? And I said, oh, I'd love to go. And so we were up there, and it was not the best weather. This is actually the first ship that's ever been commissioned in the Great Lakes, and so we're up there at Burns Harbor, and, you know, the radar was not looking good. And it was cold, and it was drizzling, and it was getting worse. And there were it was a whole front of politicians. And so they were all giving these long speeches. And we were going like, oh, come on, let's get on with this. And so, but it was interesting. Savannah said, well, let's go. I said, no, I want to see the end because it's really great. They put up the flag, and these guys go running on. And sure enough, and these guys were standing the whole time, you know, a couple hours, basically, almost at attention. But at this certain point, they say, you know, hoist the colors, and they play music, and they hoist the colors. And then all these sailors and officers, these young men and women, who've been standing all around this whole time, there's a command that's given that says, ship come alive, and they all run up the gangplanks and form a line across the top of all the galleys of the ship, and it's just an incredible moment. And so they've been waiting all this time, and they said, ship come alive, and all these young men and women just ran up there in uniform. And it was really a special moment. I thought in my own life, you know, more of us need to be like that, because it couldn't have been easy to sit in the cold and rain and to listen to all these politicians, whether you like them or not, you know, give these speeches. Some were, you know, better than others. But, I mean, it was cold and it was raining. But when the moment came, when the call came, they ran with all their might and took their place all along. And it was a beautiful moment. And I thought in my own life, you know, am I ready for the call that says, whatever you're going through, come alive. Now's the time. And I think Paul would say, yes, that's what this is about. come alive in your life. Come alive in your faith. Whatever you're going through, there's some difficulties, there's some struggles, there's some difficulty, but be positive in everything you've got. And when you're positive, you focus on the promises, not as much as the problems, right? The promises more than the problems. And I love what Tamara said about the Bible this morning. We've got all kinds of books and all kinds of verses. When you put those in there and you mark the promises of God, whatever you're going through in life, open a promise and focus on that more than the problem, and your life will be so much better. Jesus never promised that we'd never have challenges and adversity in life, but he promised that his presence would always be with us and that the promise of God would always be true. And so cling to that. One last thing here, which is that, you know, Paul ends with this about sharing with God's people in need and practice hospitality. And so share with God's people in need and then practice hospitality, which is a ring out. You know, there's our own kind of family, and then there's the church family, and then there's other people who are different than ourselves. And that's kind of hospitality. He says, listen, be generous. Share with people in your family, the church family, but also share with those who are different from yourself, who believe differently, who look differently, who speak differently. And when you do, you will find God's blessing in an amazing way. I was listening this week to a book by an author by the name of Brené Brown. I don't know if there's any Brené Brown fans out there. Highly recommend her. But and one thing, she's a Christian and she's a leadership person, but she said a turning point in her life was she started to say to herself, because you're always looking at people in the negative things, she started to say, when you look at someone, trying to say, what if they are doing their best in life with what they have? What if they are doing the best in life with what they have? So, you know, I started to do that. Maybe they're not, okay, but what if you just said, what if you gave them the benefit of the doubt and said, what if they're doing the best in life with what they have? And she said how that was a turning point. And I think in our own life, sometimes we make excuses for people, for ourselves. But what if everybody around us is doing the best that they can with what they have? What if you just gave them the benefit of the doubt? They're going through struggles and difficulties just like us. Maybe they just need a word of encouragement. Maybe they need a moment to just lift them up. Jesus said this. Jesus said, when asked what the greatest commandment was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and with everything that you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commands rest all the law and the prophets. Love and serve God, and love and serve neighbor. Keep your passion and be positive about it, and your life will go better, and everything that you do. I want to close with this thought, which is that Michelangelo, in the middle of his life, had this moment where he was asked by the Vatican to paint the Sistine Chapel, which was, you know, this, you know, an empty ceiling at that point, not the famed Sistine Chapel it is to this day. And he was asked to paint 12 figures in the Sistine Chapel. And he didn't want to do it because he was a sculptor. That was the thing that he considered his first calling. And this was a big project. And so he was coaxed and coaxed, and finally he did it. And then it was like 4 years later he was working on this, and it was, of course, more than 12 figures, and he had painted even the corners down where no one would see, and someone came to him and said, well, why are you painting those corners? Because no one can see those corners. And he replied, God can see them. And what had turned out to be an obligation to him turned out to be an inspiration. And I think many times in our life what ends up just being an obligation, we could just go through the motions. If we do it as unto God, then all of a sudden we can reignite the passion in our life, reignite the passion in our faith, and reignite the passion in our relationship. So I challenge all of us to listen to Paul's words, to try to apply God's word day to day, to focus on the promises, not the problems. And in so doing, we'll find that our passion and our positive nature in life and faith will be reignited. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp for our feet and a light to our pathway. Help us to apply it in all of faith and life, and find that as we do, you will be with us in a greater way, and we can bless others. In Christ's name, and all God's people said,